There's one alone, and there's not a second. Yea, he hath neither child nor brother, yet is there no end of all his labor. Neither is his eye satisfied with riches, neither saith he, for whom do I labor and bereave my soul of good? This is also vanity. Yes, it is sore travail. Two are better than one, because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him up. Again, if two lie together, then they have heat. But how can one be warm alone? And if one prevail against him, two shall withstand him. And a threefold cord is not quickly broken. We're going to be preaching tonight on the subject, one is a lonely number. One is a lonely number. Let's everybody pray. One is a lonely number. I think of the one that Isaiah says of him, he said, he has trodden the winepress alone. Hallelujah. I think of the time that Jesus Christ was in the Garden of Gethsemane, and there he was. He caught himself away or took himself away to a solitary place, and he prayed there all alone. Hallelujah. And he prayed and agonized in Gethsemane and prayed. And there he sweat as it were great drops of blood. He was left alone there to face the agony of Calvary that faced him. Hallelujah. One is a lonely, lonely number. Hallelujah! We think of Elijah when he was running for his life and ran, and there he awoke under a tree. He was there running for his life. He felt like he was all alone. But God spoke to him and said that there are thousands that have not bowed their knee to Baal. You're not in this thing alone, Elijah! Hallelujah! Praise God! One is a lonely number. Praise God. It was not meant that men would dwell alone. From the beginning it has been so that God did not want a man to dwell alone. Hallelujah. We look at the account found in Genesis. It's found in Genesis 2, verse 18. And it says this, and the Lord God said, it is not good that man should dwell alone. I will make him and help me for him. Praise God. And out of the dust of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air, and brought them into Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And Adam gave names to all cattle and to all the fowls of the air and to every beast of the field. But for Adam there was not found an helpmeet for him. And the Lord caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept, and he took out of his ribs and closed up the flesh thereof. God removed from Adam in that deep sleep a portion and created for Adam what is called woman. Hallelujah. Because he did not want man to one is a lonely number. We've got to have each other. Praise God. I said, we've got to have each other. And in the home, in the family, my friend, it's not a single individual institution. It is a cooperation. It is a place where people cooperate for one common goal. We're not in competition one with the other. Oh no, we don't have single careers. And we don't try to outdo one another in the home. It's popular anymore for the wife to work in the home. And sometimes the wife will bring home a bigger paycheck than the husband. But let me tell you something, my friend. We need to become as one flesh in the home. Hallelujah. That is the will of God. One is a lonely number. It's popular anymore for a wife to take a separate vacation from a husband and vice versa. But let me tell you, the Bible teaches us, it says in verse 23, Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife. And they shall be one flesh. Oh yes, they need to begin a life together. They need somehow to break away from the apron strings. They need to break away and start all anew as one flesh. Because one is a lonely, lonely number. Right. Hallelujah. Right. Praise God. Let me tell you what. And I'm not going to preach on this subject necessarily. I'm going to preach tonight. I feel the preach all over me. Hallelujah. I'm going to dwell on it a little while. Let me tell you. A lot of times the reason homes are broken is because the man of the house hadn't got the guts to pull away and get out and make it on his own. I believe that with all of my heart. He's jellyfish. It's a jellyfish. He can't make the decision on his own and get away from mom and dad. Either that or the wife in the house can't get away from mother and she has to stay near to mother and daddy and she can't pull away somehow and she can't trust her husband whom she made vows at a sacred altar that she would go wherever he went. Oh, my friend, today when we marry, we need to somehow say, this is a lifetime institution. This is something that I agree to go wherever you go. Praise God. Praise God. One's a lonely number. You can't make it in this life individually. You've got to have help. We need each other. We need each other. Praise God. You need each other in the home, and we need each other in the church. Praise God. We think about individuals. We think about David and Jonathan. Brother, they loved each other. Amen. Jonathan loved that man David more in proportion. He loved him as much or more than he did his own father Saul. He stood up against his own dad in defense of David. Oh, yes, he did. Praise God. If you want to look at it just a little bit closer, you can go to 1 Samuel 18 and verse 1, and you'll find out that it says that Jonathan and David were so close together. It said the soul of David was knit with the soul of Jonathan. And Jonathan loved David as his own soul. Oh yes, they needed each other. Praise God. They needed each other. They needed each other to survive. And the church of the living God, we need each other to survive tonight. Hallelujah. One is a lonely number. Praise God. We think of Elijah and Elisha as they were traveling and Elijah was about to be taken away. 2 Kings 2, verse 2 through 9. If you care to go over there and look at this account, we find that Elijah turned to his servant Elisha and said, the Lord has called me. He sent me to Bethel. And I want you to tarry here. And the response of that servant Elijah was, as the Lord liveth, and as my soul liveth, I will not leave thee. Amen. I'm with you. I'm with the man of God. Hallelujah. Wherever you lead, I'm going to follow. Hallelujah. And church, let me tell you, you need the pastor. You need the man of God that God has placed over this church. Wherever he goes, we need to say, as the Lord liveth and as my soul liveth, lead on, pastor. I'll follow you wherever you go. Hallelujah. I'll follow you as you follow Christ. Praise the name of the living God. Praise God. Brother Rutledge said, let's have a bus ministry. I say, bless God, let's have a bus ministry. Hallelujah. If he says jail ministry, I say, jail ministry it is. Wherever you go, that's where I will go. Hallelujah. One's a lonely number. We've got to make it together. We've got to make it together. They stood there, or at a later time, rather, Elijah turned to him. He said, the Lord is having me to go to Jericho, and I want you to tarry here. The response was the same. He said, as the Lord liveth, and as my soul liveth, I'm going wherever you go. Praise God. You're calling the shots around here. Hallelujah. Whatever you say, that's the way it's going to be. Praise God. I'm not going to stand up against the man of God. Hallelujah. You couldn't get rid of me. I'm going to stick to you like glue. Hallelujah. Praise God. Because I believe you have the word of God in your mouth. Hallelujah. Praise God. I have confidence in the ministry. I have confidence in the apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, and evangelists of our day. I have confidence that God's got his hand on the church and we cannot make it by ourselves. Hallelujah. Praise God. Sometimes we get to thinking that we can make it all alone. But one's a lonely number, brother. You cut yourself off from other folk, then you are isolating yourself and you're asking to be a lonely person. I can never, never go to an isolated desert isle and try to live an existence cut off from the mainstream of society. Oh no, I like people too well. I could never exist like that. Oh no. But let me tell you, my friend, I've got to have my brother. I've got to have help to make it through life. Why? Because one is a lonely, lonely number. Hallelujah. I want to go back now to our text and read to you. Verse 10, verse 9 says, two is better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. Two is better than one. That makes sense. That makes sense. Praise God. We're going to get into this just a little bit deeper after a while, but not getting a scrap, I wanted more than one person involved on my side. I was out in the world. I didn't want to wade into to a group of guys and start swinging unless I had somebody covering my back. Two's better than one. Praise God.
That's right.
That's right. Amen. Two's better than one. Alright. Why is two better than one? Verse 10 tells us. It clarifies it very clearly. It said, for if they fall. And sometimes, my friend, we do fall. Amen. Sometimes we stumble along the way and fall. But brother, come here, my brother. Come here. Amen to God. Two's better than one. Now this is my brother. You hear me? I said, this is my brother, Brother Atkinson. We're walking through life together. Ministers of the gospel. He pastors a church. I'm a full-time evangelist. But brother, we're in this together. You hear me? I need this man of God. And this man of God needs me because we're both in this thing together. What happens if he stumbles and falls? I'll lift him up. I'll lift him up. What happens if I fall? He'll lift me up. Why? Because he's my brother. Hallelujah to God. He is my brother. Praise God. He's my brother. Hallelujah. I need him. I need him. Hallelujah. I need you, Brother Rutledge. Praise God. if I drive out of here and sometime down in the future, I should become discouraged and I should get on the phone and call up Marvin Rutledge in Pine Bluff, Arkansas and say, Brother Rutledge, this is Brother Moses. I need your help. I'm discouraged. I'm sure what he'd say is, Brother Miles, you've come too far, man. You've got to go to heaven. I want to encourage you. I want to help you. I want you to find a man of God somewhere and pray, man. Pray. Hallelujah. I'm confident he would not slander my character. I'm confident he would not get on the phone and call up all of his pastor friends and say, that hotshot evangelist that came through, don't use him. I'm sure that he would help me pray through. Why? Because we're in this together. I can't make it by myself. Oh, we need each other. Hallelujah. One's a lonely number. Praise God. We need each other. Hallelujah. It said, if one of them should fall, the one will lift up his fellow. Is that what you saw us do a minute ago? We're walking along, and he stumbled, and I lifted him up. I didn't kick him. I didn't crucify him. I didn't say, I expected it all along. Praise God. Praise God, listen, we're so critical. We're so merciless sometimes. When our brother falls in our ranks, and I just met this man. If anybody falls in the church sometimes, we're so prone to say, oh, I knew it all along. But let me, Galatians 6 and 1, get that, read it for me. Praise God, I've got something in my heart tonight. One's the lonely number. We got to have each other. We've got to have each other. I need my brother. I need my sister. I need the church. Hallelujah. Galatians 6 and 1. Praise God. Praise God.
Brother,
if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, how can you look hard on him? Call upon your friends and crucify him. Oh, no! What you're supposed to do, you're supposed to seek to restore. Seek to get that man back to the place that he once was. Restore such and one. How? In the spirit of self-righteousness. In the spirit of I knew it was going to happen anyway. In the spirit of meekness. Considering thyself. Lest thou also be tempted. Oh, my friend, we are not infallible. We need each other. Hallelujah. We need each other. We need each other. We need each other. One's a lonely number. I can't make it without my brother. I can't make it without the church. Hallelujah. I cannot make it. Read it. All right, you bear one another's burdens.
And so fulfill the law of Christ.
And so fulfill the law of Christ. Oh, my friend, it is up to us. It said that the strong ought to bear the infirmity of the weak. It indicates that there will be some that grow weak in our ranks. And it indicates that there will be some that are stronger in the spirit. And they're not to have a haughty spirit about the whole thing. They are supposed to bear one another's burdens and lift up one another and pray for one another and talk to one another. Oh, my friend, listen. Tonight, church, you need each other worse than you've ever needed each other in your entire life. We're living on the threshold of the second coming of the Lord. And if someone should see my brother begin to fail and somehow he would begin to miss services, it would be their duty to go to Brother Yeager and say, Brother Yeager, I love you, my friend. I want to help you. I want to pray for you. Oh, whatever it takes, my friend. I want to go to heaven with you. You're my brother. You're my brother. I love you, Brother Yeager. I love you. I need you. I've got to have you. Praise God. One is a lowly number.
That's right. That's right.
Praise God. One's a lonely number. Hallelujah.
We can't make it by ourselves. Hallelujah. I said, we can't make it by ourselves. Hallelujah. All right, it said they'll lift up his fellow. It said, but woe to him that is alone when he falleth. Somebody say, I don't believe you even have to go to church to be saved. The Bible says, woe to you. Because when you fall, you have got a fellow to lift you up. Woe to him that's alone when he falls. Woe to him that won't join himself to a local body, to a local assembly. Be faithful in support and faithfulness. Oh, woe to you, because one of these days, when you fall, you'll be all alone. You'll be all alone. Woe to him when he falls, if he's alone. For he has not another to help him up. Again, if two lie together, they have heat. But how can one be warm alone? Listen, if you ever go mountain climbing, I'm encouraging you not to go alone. Especially if you get up in the high Sierras or get in some place where there can be an unexpected blizzard of some kind that could cut off your descent, that could keep you from making your way back to the foot of the mountain. Because if you're by yourself, you're in trouble. You can freeze to death in just a matter of hours. And they say that when a man is about to freeze, that he feels very warm. He's deceived into believing that all of a sudden something's happened. But what it is a numbing of his senses. And the temperature of his body drops way low. And he's just about to die. And in that warm condition, he will attempt to go to sleep. I heard about an account like this. And a man was fortunate to have his dog with him. And the dog would not allow that master to go to sleep. He kept licking his face, kept him awake, just kept at him, until a search party arrived. If he had drifted off into sleep, he would have died in that condition. Oh, my friend, we don't need to be caught alone. We need each other. If there's two together, they can have one. The body temperature of each can heat the other, and they can remain alive long enough for help to arrive. But oh, if they're alone, they're in trouble.
That's right.
Praise God. Hallelujah. Listen, it said, if one prevail against him, two shall withstand him.
Right.
I said a minute ago, I want somebody to watch my back, and I'm in it. I've been in too many scraps by myself. I got in one time, and I didn't even know. I was in uniform, and I was in the Navy. I hate to go into all this. Anyway, I started dancing this fella's girlfriend, and upset him a little bit. He got out there, and he had a confrontation with me right there, and I was fixing to really plow into him, you know, and somebody grabbed me from behind. I thought, brother, he must think I'm tough. He must think I'm going to really tear that fella up. And then after just about a couple of seconds, he held on a little bit tighter than I thought he ought to, you know. And I thought, well, wait just a minute. He's on that guy's side. He's trying to hold me so he can do a job on me. Amen. And brother, it got a little bit critical about there. And I got out of that man's grip in a hurry. And we started having us a little bit of war right there. But friend, I'm glad I had some friends on the other side of the room. I'm glad I had somebody to help me out of that pickle. Because if I'd been in that place all by myself, I would have been in trouble. Oh, yes. My friend, let me tell you tonight, we need each other worse than we need anything in this world. Oh, yes, we've got to have each other. Praise God. Listen to this in closing tonight. It said, two shall withstand him, and a threefold cord is not quickly broken. Let me show you a beautiful parallel tonight. We, as the children of God, have got to have the church.
And we, as the children of God, have got to have God's favor in our lives. Hallelujah. We've got to have the minister. We've got to have the church. And we've got to have each other. But oh, let me tell you, friend, we have got to have God. If somehow the ministry should fail for some reason or the other, a three-fold cord is not quickly broken. We've still got the favor of God. We've still got the power of God. Hallelujah to God. And we've still got each other. Praise God. We've got to have each other. A threefold cord is not quickly broken. Men in leadership, the power of God motivating that man and the church, a threefold cord, it's not quickly broken. You take a seagrass rope, you can snap it in just a whiz. But you take a threefold nylon cord, interwoven, you can almost pull a car with it. Amen. A threefold cord is not quickly broken. Amen. Let me tell you tonight, we've got to have each other. We need each other. One is a lonely, lonely number. Let's everybody stand.
Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. I feel the spirit of victory here tonight. I feel like God has done something in our lives. Praise God. We've got to have each other. The church needs each other. Praise God. There's no time for bickering. There's no time for fault finding. There's no time for division. There's no time for all that. We've got to have each other. Let me show you one other little illustration tonight before I close this message. And I hope you never forget this. I hope you never, never forget this. Listen. Brother Yeager, Sister Yeager, move over a little bit, please. Now stand right where you're at, and you move over just a little. These people are man and wife. They've been married for a long time. That's right. How many years? Well, they've been married anyway for some time. Now listen, if the devil can separate their thinking, if the devil can come between these two people and divide them, he can disrupt the home and eventually can conquer the home. Listen. My friend, it's the same thing in churches. It's a trick of the enemy that's as old as war itself. If the devil can divide a church on its thinking, if the devil can divide a people and get warring factions in the church, if he can divide, then the rule of war is divide and conquer. But oh, my friend, tonight we need to stay together in every area of life. Praise God. Divide and conquer. We're together. We love each other. That's my brother. That's my sister. Praise God. I need them. We need each other. Praise God. Let's lift our hands and thank God tonight for what He's done.